I love the fictional speculation stories. It's been so entertaining for years. Thanks, Nate.
Well, I want to first off say that I appreciate the fact that you have been coming for years. I think that's great. You keep coming back for some reason, so there must be some value that you're getting in the channel. So I'm not going to disrupt that.
I can't get through 10 minutes of this crap anymore.
But can you get through 9 minutes of this crap?
I'm coming for your stuff, Nate.
Yeah, I would say that's not a good strategy for you. Not only is that just going to get you killed, probably very, very early on in things, but that is not a sustainable means of subsistence, to try to rob and steal from people.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No, no, no.
Okay, yeah, no, no. You're right, no.
I just checked and the sky is still up there.
Let's try to dissect the psychology of the people who leave these sorts of comments. These are people who are genuinely fearful of some of the worst case scenarios we talk about. I would venture to say what motivates their denial is a very strong understanding of just how bad things would be if what we talked about actually materialized. Instead of enduring the pain of acknowledging this reality and how ill-prepared they are, they choose to be incredulous. Now, here's a thought for you. It's arguable that preppers are actually optimists in that they actually believe that they can survive the situations they prepare for. It could be that the real pessimists are the people who don't think they stand a hope in hell of surviving. Thus, they repress the reality and they live in denial of these things that are clearly starting to fall apart all around them.
Oh, yes. Everyone's out to get you, Nate.
Well, you know, there's that old saying, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. If you don't think that there aren't forces that are dictating the terms of who becomes a notable influencer and who doesn't, you don't understand how things work at this level. I'm presuming that this comment originated on a video where perhaps I was talking about shadow banning. I don't make a habit of victimhood on the channel. I try to take responsibility for everything that happens to the channel, and everything is a result of my choosing. Now, that doesn't mean there's not an Overton window. And in this particular genre, you kind of have to be straddling the line of failure on that Overton window, doing stuff that's a little risque, but not too much that you get canceled. That's kind of the Goldilocks zone. So this is a statement made by somebody who's incredibly naive to the realities of the social media space. The fact is, there are business interests at play here, and if you say the wrong things, you will be silenced.
Your videos are becoming more BS every time.
Typically, when I get a vague criticism like this, the person has nothing specifically that they necessarily disagree with. Typically, this is motivated by some political or ideological difference of opinion, because normally, if you thought something was BS, you would specify what that actually was. Like, you'd actually post an argument, as opposed to some sweepingly vague critique like this. In fact, nothing irritates me more than being wrong and accidentally parlaying information that's not true, which is why the only thing that keeps me up at night on this channel is if I say something in a video and it turns out later that it wasn't factually correct, I can't sleep. So I try to do my level best to always be presenting factual information on the channel, and I try to make a clear-cut distinction between what is empirical information and what is speculation and hypothesis. So feel free to elaborate on what is BS.
You know what? I heard this guy doesn't even have chickens. How can he call himself a homesteader when he doesn't have chickens?
Well, as far as I know, the channel is not called the Canadian Homesteader. But that said, I actually am aspiring to be, which is why last year, if you've been paying attention, You'll know that I moved to an off-grid property, and I'm currently in the process of building all that out. So I actually like this kind of comment because it motivates me to do more. I want to walk the walk. I don't have to. I can just sit here and do doom and gloom videos all day. In fact, if that's all I did on this channel, I would be far more successful. It's arguable that to my own financial detriment, I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in making videos about preparedness and now homesteading when I don't have to. I can literally get up in front of a screen every single day and just give people all the bad news. But if I was doing that, I wouldn't expect you to take me seriously at all because it would be a sign that I don't actually believe what I think. And the fact is, I do, which is why my lifelong ambition has always been to get into a position so that I can get a homestead, so that I can have all of the self-sustaining things in place to ride out whatever disaster may come.
Hey, I wonder what happened to World War III.
This is a common question I get. You see, World War III is actually a process. It's ongoing as we speak. The only reason why people believe that World War III hasn't actually officially begun yet is because the first nuke hasn't been detonated. When all of this elapses, we're going to likely have demarcated somewhere in 2022 as being the official start point of World War III, but everybody has their own estimation of when it actually began. What will officially delineate the beginning and ending of World War III? Well, we're entering into a multipolar Cold War era, and somebody has to win the war. When somebody wins that war, World War III will have ended. That could take the form of nuclear weapons, cyber attacks, hybrid warfare. Nonetheless, things are ramping up.
You're sounding really bitter nowadays. I love your content, Nate, but you got Trump must derangement syndrome.
So there's all kinds of derangement syndrome and worship syndrome. There's a spectrum. There is Trump Musk derangement syndrome, and then there is Trump Musk worship syndrome. Most people are a kind of either or. I tend to be objectively in the middle. I think that there's some good things that Donald Trump has done, and I think there's some ridiculous things that Donald Trump has done. I think that there's certain people, no matter what Trump or Musk do, they will follow them to the ends of the earth, and there are other people who will do the opposite. What typically tends to happen is that if you have Trump worship syndrome, anyone who criticizes any aspect of their platform is going to be viewed as Trump derangement syndrome, like this individual right here. Conversely, if you have Trump derangement syndrome, anybody who praises Trump or Elon Musk for doing anything, you will view as having Trump worship syndrome. Does this make sense? Throughout Biden's entire presidency, I criticized Biden pretty much in every single video. Okay, there wasn't one day that went by where I wasn't cracking a joke about Sleepy Joe Biden. And I don't think I ever heard one comment from this individual about Biden derangement syndrome. So everybody has their own bias. And once again, if there's something you disagree with fundamentally on the channel, the best way to do that is to specify what it is. Oh, and by the way, if you think we're bitter on this channel, go and check out some of our Blue Strip content. We have fun on the channel all the time. In fact, we do more comedy than any other channel in the prepping space. So am I bitter? No. Am I irritated because every little innocuous, subtle criticism of Elon Musk and Donald Trump is presumed to be Trump derangement syndrome by one-dimensional idiots like yourself? Yes.
You know, I like to pretend that Nate isn't vaxxed and doesn't drive an electric car.
Well, I can tell you, I haven't been vaxxed, actually, and that was something that I didn't make widely known until we were in the clear of that whole thing, for obvious reasons. No, I actually invested thousands of dollars throughout the course of the pandemic. I had to go and get tested every 3 days and carry around my papers. If I wanted to go to the gym or any public place, I had to show my papers for years on end. Now, that was my own personal choice. I have plenty of friends who chose otherwise. The electric car thing is interesting, too, because now it's actually inverted. Now EVs are slowly becoming a conservative thing because it's all about supporting Elon Musk. The reason why I bought an electric car in the first place was actually because the government was offering subsidies and tax rebates for it. So we got one for the business. And EVs are an incredible technology. I'm not a Luddite. I believe that technology has a place in preparedness. In fact, I've argued for the longest time that there are many, many benefits to preppers to have EVs. And if you don't think so, you're just being ignorant. That's all there is to it. Now, is there ways that this technology is a double-edged sword and can be used against us in an Orwellian fashion? Absolutely. There's a surveillance state application here, which we must be mindful of. Nonetheless, you can't tell me that a vehicle that requires almost no maintenance and that can be powered off a solar system virtually indefinitely is a bad thing. Okay, the technology itself is great. What we need is a jailbroken EV. An EV is just superior technology. And if you've never driven one, you need to shut the up because you don't know what you're talking about. That said, you still want to have a diesel at your disposal.
One of my resolutions for 2025 is to stop watching disaster porn like this.
Look, I would encourage you to find content that is going to constructively serve you in any meaningful way. For some people, it's going to be getting information. And as a prepping channel, obviously, we're going to be focusing on things that can go wrong. That is the whole point with preparedness. When you go into an insurance company, they're going to be looking at all the things that could potentially go wrong, whether it's natural disasters, fire, hailstorms. Now, that said, just because there's that actuarial component to this channel doesn't mean we're not grateful and we don't appreciate the wonderful things in life. In fact, the reason why we prepare is because we value how fragile and delicate our society actually is. Now, if you don't like disaster porn stuff, I would encourage you to go and check out the lighter side of the channel. Any video that has a blue strip on it is typically going to be something which we've actually done more editing to. Typically, these are more solution-focused videos. So our red strip videos, that's the daily dose of doom and gloom. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. Now, some of those blue strip videos are actually interviews that I do with guests, and there is typically a solution component in those, but they're kind of 50-50 in that they're problems and they're solutions.
You know, Nate, I appreciate your videos. However, when you start talking about this concept, it starts to become clear how disconnected you are from the world. Just because they're low level or unorganized doesn't mean they're going to be a threat to someone with a prepper mindset.
Au contraire. In fact, on numerous occasions, I've talked about people as resources on this channel as opposed to potential threats and liabilities. Now, there's a spectrum of preppers, okay? There's going to be people who are very community-oriented and people who are reclusive outback shut-ins. Now, you can be isolationist in your preparedness, or you can be more community-focused. There are pros and cons and there are risks to all of these things. So I'm not really sure where this comment originated, but I try to cover all of the perspectives. While it's true that I've made several videos where we talk about the risks of unprepared people, I've also done several videos where we talk about the potential benefits and how people can be assets to your community. So no, unprepared people aren't always going to be threats, but they are going to be always liabilities. In fact, if you've been on this channel for a while, in some of my ruminations, I've talked about how preppers are going to be the biggest threats at the end of the day. Why? Because when the smoke clears, all of those unprepared people will probably get weeded out, and then you're going to have warring tribes of preppers, essentially. So typically, I've used the comparison of zombie movies. It's never the zombies that turn out to be the main antagonists in the movie. It's always other humans. And I've used that as a metaphor for other preppers, because preppers use the Golden Horde zombie metaphor to refer to people who are unprepared. Well, then who are the preppers in this comparison? As is the case in most wars, it's your peers that you have to worry about most.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.